Joshua chapter 14 tonight. And let's pick up in verse 10. The Bible says, "And now, behold," let me back up. Verse 7. 40 years old was I when Moses the servant of the Lord sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, "Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was in that day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said." And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. And you can be seated tonight. Heavenly Father, touch us now while we might preach. We certainly need your help. Look into heaven, Lord, to anoint us afresh tonight. Help somebody that's lost to get saved. Help somebody that has a need that need to be filled. Maybe somebody's cold and indifferent. I pray they'll come and get right. And Lord, I just pray you'd help us while we might preach. I want you to have the glory and honor and save that sinner's nearest tale for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In this portion of Scripture, we find that Caleb is rehearsing and that to Joshua the time of when they went into the promised land to spy it out. He reminds him that he was only one of the two. Him and Joshua was the only two out of 12 that came back and said, "We can take the land." And he's rehearsing this in Joshua's ears because it's now time for Caleb and that to get his inheritance. I'm glad there's coming a day we're going to get our inheritance. We ain't got to fight for it. Amen. But he was going to have to go fight for his. And he said in verse 7, he said, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And it's been another 45 years since then, and he's now 85 years old. And Caleb makes a statement over here, and he says, "I'm just as strong now at 85 years old as I was at 40 years old. Well, ain't that amazing tonight? I mean, man, his strength hadn't failed by 85. And here's a man that wanted to go and that get what God had promised him at 85 years old. Well, I'm telling you, at 85 years old, I hope that I still have the strength and the stamina to stand and preach the Word of God as He called me to do. Me and Miss Kelly, we were over in Newport, North Carolina, some years back, and we went to church over there. And some of y'all might remember Brother Robinson coming by and looking at some radio stations for us years ago. And that's where Brother Robinson went to church. And so when we were over there, we went over to visit with them and visit with her. I believe the pastor told me that he was 88 years old. And he still preached just like I preach today. Wide open and as hard as he could go. I remember when Brother Marvin West come, not this one, but the other one. When Brother Marvin came to preach that week-long revival for us, he was in his 80s then and preached 45 minutes at least every night and preached as hard as he could even in his 80s. And I hope that if I get to live to be that age, I hope that I'm like Caleb and still have the stamina and the strength to want to go. Well, as I read this passage of Scripture, I thought about what he said down here in verse 10. And he said, "And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness." And for 40 years, the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And God told them in the book of Numbers 14, when they chose not to go into the promised land, when they come back and 10 said, "We can't go," and 2 said, "We can go," and they said, "We're not going." And so God said this in Numbers 14, "And your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness." I believe God was angry with Israel, don't you? That don't sound like a whole big loving God that the world's got a picture painted of tonight. He said, "I'll let your carcasses rot out there in the wilderness, for you won't go." And I began to consider this and think about this in verse 10 when he talked about wandering in the wilderness. I thought about that the children of Israel was just going through the motions. Have you ever looked at the map that they took for 40 years? They just literally wandered in the wilderness. It was a big circle. They just went through and made a circle and went through and made a circle. And they made the motion as though they were going somewhere, but they never got nowhere. And tonight I want to preach having a thought on just going through the motions. Life is full of going through motions, ain't it? You get up every morning and go to work. You come home, you do your chores, you go to bed, you get up the next morning, and you go to work. I call that going through the motions. I remember when it was like that. I really do. I worked the past 2.5 weeks and got called out on a little job there and went and done that. And boy, I never was so glad when we turned that last piece of pipe. And I said, "Man, I'm glad this thing's over with." Climbing up and down out of them lifts and carrying 21-foot sticks of 2-inch pipe. Brother Jeremiah, I was tired by the end of 2.5 weeks. Your preacher ain't used to manual labor anymore. But I know what it's like to go through the motions. When, you know, life is just full of that. Grief and depression. You better be thankful of going through the motions during that time, because that's what keeps some people going, is to be able to just go through the motions of life to keep them going. But when it comes to our Christian life, I'm afraid a lot of times if we're not very careful, we end up like the children of Israel in verse 10. Where he says that they just wandered in the wilderness. They were just going through the motions to get somewhere, but they were going nowhere. And so number one tonight, that's my first point actually, is going through the motions gets us nowhere. I'm afraid that in our spiritual life, that we become so accustomed of coming to church and going home and just doing what we do, that our spiritual life is no more than motions. It's not considering God. It's not thinking about God. It's leaving God out. I'll just deal with me first and deal with these preachers sitting here tonight. One of the worst things, or one of the things that I worry about most, is going through the motions when I get up here. I worry about church just becoming a motion for me that, well, let's go get it over with, and go home, and we'll do the same thing next week. Now, I know that over the years I'm not ignorant and dumb. I know there's been people in this church, especially early on in my ministry, that was not necessarily for me. I'm not dumb. I know that stuff. I hope you're for me tonight. All right. That was the time you should have said amen. If you was ever going to do it, that was it. Amen. I can remember getting up one Sunday morning, and whether I had invented it in my head or whether it was real, And you got to watch that sometimes. We invent things in our head that is not true. But I knew that folk were against me, and I remember standing up behind the pulpit, and I thought to myself, man, I'm glad I'll get to come and do this tonight. I tell you, that morning, I was probably just going through the motions to get out of here. I just wanted to get out of here. And so preaching, I don't want to come just to fill a position behind this pulpit. When I come, I want to come knowing what God has given me to preach is what you need and I need. I am afraid of going through the motions. I mean, that literally scares me. I think if it didn't scare me, that would bother me some. When I come, I want not to stand up here and say, well, I'm going to deliver a message, and we'll go home. And boy, I heard a great message for a little while this morning on the preacher preaching about when the sower goes out to sow, that he goes all the way, the sower goes out with expectation to get something in return. And so when I come to preach, it's not necessarily I expect you to come to the altar. I mean, when I was a young preacher, I wanted everybody to come to the altar, and I thought everybody ought to come to the altar. Especially when I got done preaching. It was that glorious, friend. But I shortly learned after I come to pastor, not everybody's going to come to the altar, nor should they. But you should get something every time I stand up to preach. God ought to do something in your heart. When I stand to preach, I don't want to go through the motions because, friend, if I just go through the motions, then there's no excitement about what I'm preaching. If I'm not excited about what I'm preaching, why would I expect you to be excited about what I'm preaching? Now, I'm talking about going through the motions, but I'm dealing with the preacher right now. I'll deal with you here in a minute. Just let me deal with me first. Going through the motions most of the time would mean that I've probably just picked something that sounds good and maybe I can preach it. Well, there is a mechanics to preaching tonight. I mean, we can get 3 points in a poem and make a pretty good outline. I can alliterate it. But it's more, did I spend time in prayer and seek God, or am I just coming to fill this position? I don't want to be the preacher that just comes to fill my space and fill my time. When I stand right here, I want you to know that I've done my very best in study. I want you to know that I've done my very best in prayer time in trying to seek God. I don't want it to be motions tonight. I don't want to come in that back door and just dread having to get up here. I want to be able to get up here and preach. And I'll be honest with you, I don't know if I ever remember a time dreading getting up here. I mean, there's been a couple of times I've dreaded to look out over the crowd with who was sitting there. And it ain't none of y'all. I'm happy to see y'all tonight. But I'll be honest with you, Brother Mark, I can't remember a time ever standing right here and dreading to have to stand up and preach. Can't remember it. In 19 and a half years almost, I cannot remember that. In going through the motions, I read this the other night as I began to preach. It didn't even have nothing to do with my message, but it is one of my concerns is what he said in Judges chapter 16. Talking about Samson and Delilah. And she said, the Philistines will be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times before and shake myself. And you know the problem right here. Now, stay with me. I'm going to finish that scripture in a minute. You know the difference right now than all them other times? She cut his hair. Now, that's where his strength rested at. God, I understand his strength was in God, but his strength rested in the hair that he had because he's under that Nazarite vow, and she had cut his hair. And he, like some kind of crazy person, told her where his strength lied at. And he said, I'll go out as other times before and shake myself. And he wished not that the Lord was departed from him. Scares me to death. Going through the motions would mean that I'd get up here and expect God just to show up. No prayer time, maybe. No study time. You know, even if I preach a message that I have preached before, I still study that thing. I look it over. Study it out. Pray over it. I remember when I first started preaching, Brother Jeremiah, I thought you just preached one message one time. I didn't know you could preach the message again. I guess when you preached on Calvary that one time, that's it. I guess. I don't know. I mean, I didn't know you could preach a message over and over and over again. Nobody ever told me that. I mean, I guess that's why I've got over 3,000 messages sitting there at the house, you know. I know certain situations force us to go through the motions in our Christian life if we're not careful. Death will cause us to do that sometimes. And hard times, it seems like we just go through the motions. And God knows about that, but that's not what I'm talking about. Preachers, we shouldn't go through the motions. We ought to study and pray and seek God. And no matter who is sitting in the crowd, we ought to stand and say what thus saith the Word of God is, and give it straight, and how it falls, it falls. Sunday school teachers tonight, if we're not careful, we go through the motions. Whether teaching children or adults alike, when we really don't see any fruit. I mean, teaching them young'uns tonight, sometimes it's going to be hard to see. That's almost like going to the nursing home. You don't see no fruit hardly when you go to the nursing home. In 9 years of being at the nursing home, I've seen people saved twice, and it was all on the same day. Explain that. I mean, explain how that happens. I mean, I ain't seen anybody saved in years at the nursing home, and then you get there, and you get one saved before service, and you get one saved after service. I don't understand that. But boy, God knew what He was doing. But when you really don't see any fruit, and you wonder if them kids are really getting it, it becomes real easy to slip off into just going through the motions of teaching Sunday school. Trying to keep from getting discouraged. Discouragement will make you go through the motions. Make you just go through the motions. It'll make you, going through the motions will keep you from praying and putting your all in it. If you're not careful. I hate going through the motions on anything. I hate it with a passion. I like to know that I am accomplishing something. Whether I'm at my home working or whatever it may be, I like to know that I'm getting something accomplished or I don't want to do it. And I would hate to think that you go to teach a Sunday school class and you're just going through the motions to do it because that's your job. Now, we're going to look at how to get out of that here in just a minute. What about our singing tonight? Do we just sing to go through the motions to sing? Or when we sing those songs, do you really listen to what you're singing? Do you listen to the words of what you're saying? I try, and I find myself just as guilty as anybody else that we're just singing to sing. And I don't want to sing three songs and sit down just because that's what we've always done. Whether we're in the choir, whether we're in the congregation, or whatever it may be, I just don't want to go through the... Hey, listen, when we sing, it is to sing praises unto the God of heaven who sent His Son to save us tonight. Amen. I mean, He said it is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises unto Thy name, O Most High. That's why I love to sing. I'm singing because I love Him and He loves me. Ain't you glad tonight Jesus loves you? Man, I'm so glad He loved me, even when I was in my sin. I ain't there no more. I'm still a sinner, but I'm a sinner saved by grace. But He don't see me that way. When God sees me, He sees the Son tonight. So when you, listen to me now, when you sing, are we just singing to go through emotion tonight? Well, let's go to the choir. We'll sing these three songs and the preacher will preach and we'll get to go home. That's going through the motions. Do you remember a time when you was excited to come to church, but you're not necessarily excited now? But it's Sunday, so you got to go. It's going through the motions. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Are you still glad to get to come to church? In this last year, in 2020, if we really ever got stuck in going through the motions, this was the year. It's been a hard year. I mean, now 2019 for this church was a hard year too. I understand that. The end of 2018 and 2019, and I remember very well standing here on the very last Wednesday night of 2019 and preaching on discouragement and say, boy, I'm looking forward to 2020. Whew. Never was so irritated to see 2020 show up. Man, I'm telling you, it was a bad year, wasn't it? I think people went off their rocker last year. I know we had problems. I know our country and our world had sickness. I understand all that. We had political problems and physical problems, and I may preach on that sometimes. But what we have more than anything is a spiritual problem. But just going through the motions. Have I gone through the motions of reading your Bible? Do you just read your Bible so that you can satisfy your conscience, so that God would be happy with you, and just reading your Bible? How about praying? You know, I find myself doing that. I need to pray. I got to go pray. I need to pray. I got to pray. I got to pray. Got to pray. Got to pray. Got to pray. Got to run and pray. There's folk counting on me praying. I believe that. And so I run in there and I rush through my prayer in a hurry to get done and go through the motions of praying. I don't like going through the motions of anything. So Caleb talked about the children of Israel wandering for 40 years in the wilderness. And they wandered and went around and around literally in a circle, up mountain and down mountain and up mountain and down mountain. But they went nowhere. And let me say tonight, that I'm determined that some people are satisfied to go through the motions. They're satisfied with because they're in their comfort zone, if you'd let me say that, if they're just going through the motions. They don't have to do nothing extra for God. They don't have to spend any more time on what they're doing in their spiritual life. They've got other things to go do. And so if we just go through the motions, we can appease God and get by. You ain't appeasing God. I ain't appeasing God just by going through the motions. He knows what's going on. He knows your heart tonight. He knows what's going on in your life. He knows what's going on in this church tonight. I hate going through the motions tonight. But yet some people are satisfied with that. I don't know why you would be. But then Caleb, he makes a statement over here. He says, as yet am I as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. That now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there. That's the giants, by the way. The Anakims were the giants. And that the cities were great and fenced. It shall be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said. Now for 40 years, Caleb wandered around with the rest of them. Joshua wandered around with the rest of them. And for 5 years now, they've all been fighting. They've all got into the promised land. And so now, 5 years, he says, let me go have what's mine. Now, do you want to know, listen, when we're going through the motions, we're going nowhere. But yet, to get somewhere for the Lord, you've got to get in motion. What's Caleb say right here? He says, as I was that day, as yet as I am strong this day, as I was in the day that Moses sent me, and as my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both go out and come in. You know that sometimes to get in the right motion, it's going to be a fight. We've been used to being in the motions of doing everything the same. I'm not saying we're going to change anything. I'm just saying I don't want to be just in the motions of doing. Sometimes it's just fight. It's a fight to get some things straightened out. You know, to fix things in your life, you've got to be honest with you and God. That's a scary place to get. When you look up to heaven, and you get along by yourself, or you get up on this altar right here, or wherever you may be, and you say, God, am I just going through the motions? You know what God may do, what God will do? He'll answer you. And then what are you going to do with the answer? Caleb said, I'm as strong and as ready to fight as I've ever been. Did you know to fix some things, to get out of the motion of doing it, but to get in the motion of doing what is right? He said, look, the Anakims were there, the giants were there. You may not only have to fight, but you may have to fight some giants. I've had some giants in my life over the years. Do you realize that for 40 years, Caleb wandered with the children of Israel, and for another 5 years, he helped them fight to get into their land, and now he's going to get his. And so no doubt for 45 years, Caleb has kept this on his mind. For 45 years, Moses had promised him, hey, you'll get to go into the promised land, you'll get what's coming to you. And so for 45 years, he's dwelled on this. And at 85 years old, he is excited about going to fight. You know why we get in just going through the motions and we stay just in going through the motions? We've lost our excitement about who we're serving. Caleb was excited about what he was going to get to go do. There was a church, Brother Marvin, that I used to hate to go preach at. That thing was dead as a hammer. I never was received well there. And one of my friends pastored there for a long time. And I used to hate to go. And then there was one Sunday night, I went up there when we had homecoming here. I went up and preached for him. And I preached that message that I have on grace. So you get to preach them over again sometimes. How that grace found me and fixed me and all those things. And man, I got to preaching on grace. And that was one of the best meetings that I'd been in ever in my life up there. So sometimes it might not have been them, it might have been the preacher. Maybe they didn't know how to take me till the third or fourth time. I don't know. But Caleb was excited about going to fight. For 45 years, he's thought about this. He said, my strength is good as it was 45 years ago. And he said, give me this mountain. He said, I'm going to go take it. You're excited to get to do what you do for the Lord. Whether it's preaching or teaching Sunday school or singing or reading your Bible or witnessing. We shouldn't just go through the motions. Well, I'd like to say I heard a good message on that this morning. We just go through the motions to witness, but yet we never have an expectation. And one of the greatest examples is the preacher gave this morning. I told Kelly, I said, man, that's a great example. He said, have you ever seen a farmer go out to plant and not have an expectation that that crop wouldn't come up? That he was just going to go plant, just to plant, and whether it come up or not didn't matter to him. Why ain't none of us ever done that? I thought, man, that's a wonderful example, ain't it? So how do we go somewhere for God and getting in the motion to go somewhere for God? Or how do we quit just going through the motions? We get along with God and we get honest with Him. And you know what we tell Him? We say, Lord, I've just been going through the motions on this thing. I don't want to go through the motions anymore. I don't want to do this. I'm tired of life being dry. The life sucked out of me. I'm just tired of it. And say, Lord, I'm going to need Your help. Caleb was not going to be able to take that mountain without God's help. God had promised them, if you'll just go fight, I'll go before you. So you know what I know? God was going to go before Caleb and help him fight. You know, if you'll just come to God and say, I've been going through the motions and Lord, I just need some help on this thing. And I just want to be right with You and I want to do the best that I can and have the right expectations. And we let the Lord be our excitement. The end of Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10, he said, the joy of the Lord is our strength. We do what we do for Him and not for anybody else. That'll change your whole outlook. And what I mean for that is I come in here to preach tonight, yes, to help you, but I really believe this is what God would have me to preach, and I'm doing it for Him tonight. I want Him to get the glory. You know, if there's anything changes in your life tonight, it's not because of me, but it's because of Him. We come to sing tonight. We come to sing for Him. You teach your Sunday school class, you teach for Him. You read your Bible, you read to learn about Him. Not to say I've read my Bible. I remember growing up, I grew up in Southern Baptist Church, and man, they took a number for everything. I mean, how many daily Bible readers we got? They'd want to know. How many contacts did you make this week? At least they didn't ask you if you prayed every day. I'm sure somewhere they did. Let me ask you something tonight. In your life, are you just going through the motions? Or are you trying to do something for God? Now let me say tonight that if you're lost and not saved, and you're coming to church, you're just going through the motions. Now I'm glad you're coming. I'm glad you're here. But until you get saved, you're just going to be going through the motions. And you need to come and get saved tonight. Let's bow our heads across the house.